Hello. Thank you for joining us on Live, Learn, Love, Lead, a podcast of Bethel Christian Church in Warren, Michigan. Our mission is to live in the power of Christ, learn to become like Christ, love as the family of Christ, and to lead others to Christ. This year, our aim is to grow in these four L's as we study through the Old Testament. Listen for this week's thoughts.
Welcome to Live, Learn, Love, Lead, the weekly podcast of Bethel Christian Church. I'm Pastor William Farina.
Hi, this is Danielle. We are working through Psalm 63 to 80 this week, and we're going to zero in on Psalm 73. So this psalm was written by a man named Asaph, and he obviously didn't write as many psalms as David. He wrote 12 of them, and he was the director of music under King David and under King Solomon. He was called a prophet, a poet, a musician, and the choir director. So he had this place of worship with the Lord, of connection with the kings, and so it's then interesting to see his perspective. Really, this is a wrestling. A lot of the Psalms is a wrestling of why bad things happen, why wicked people prosper, which I think we all have. Why are these wrong? Why do these bad things happen?
Yeah, Asaph is one of those unheralded, unknown people that really played a big role in the Bible and wrote 12 Psalms, and as you said. And he handled all the music, the processions, the pomp, pageantry of imagine a king and a nation has all these ceremonies and these parades and processions and stuff. He was responsible for all the music, and he was the spiritual, he was also a spiritual leader in the kingdom. And Psalm 73, one of his psalms, is really an amazing psalm. I think it's, we talked about the psalms, there's the human side and the hopeful side, and this psalm is a classic with that. Yeah. I call this psalm, When Life Doesn't Make Sense.
Yeah.
I think if we would sum it up, Asaph is having one of those moments and times that we've all had and we all have as human beings that we're just overwhelmed with life and life just doesn't make sense for us. We've all asked the why questions.
Yeah.
You know, why does God allow certain things to happen? Mm-hmm. Why doesn't God stop some things from happening? Why does God let bad things happen to good people, and why does God let good things happen to bad people?
Yeah.
And when life doesn't make sense, we need answers.
Yeah.
Now, we may not have all the answers because God is ultimately in control. But this psalm gives us some interesting principles on how to live life when life doesn't make sense. Mm.
And I love that the Lord let us have this psalm and this prayer, this song, because it's so honest. And a lot of times we think of the people in the Bible as just people that were close to the Lord and lived holy lives. But this is a real wrestling, and it gives us some insight to the leadership of Israel, the leadership of the people of God, and that they were struggling with some of these things. And I think we all have those questions. And so let's look at it.
I think we got to begin with verse one. And I would call verse one the overriding conclusion of life.
Mm.
We have to come to this one. If life is going to make sense to us, we have to come to this one overriding conclusion in life. And he starts out in verse one and says, truly, God is good. Not maybe, or if everything's going right and if everything's perfect, then God is good.
There's a certainty.
No, he says with clarity and certainty at all times, good times, bad times, when things are going our way, when life makes sense or it doesn't, truly God is good. If we come from that perspective, if we start out and build our life on the perspective that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, if we start with that with a clean heart, he says truly God is good. Good to those of a clean heart. If we'll keep our heart clean and pure, and we'll come from the worldview and perspective that God is good, and that there's goodness in God, even though there's bad in the world, and God allows certain things and things happen. If we start from that perspective that truly God is good, then things can make sense. If we don't, then nothing's going to make sense.
Yeah.
And we're going to fall into the pit and the trap of being depressed and discouraged and overwhelmed by life. And that's why people commit suicide. That's why people lose heart. That's why people turn away from faith. That's why people give up on life.
Hope, yeah.
And don't live with hope. And we got to start with that overriding conclusion that truly God is good. That's not a glib statement. That's mm-hmm. a bold statement. Mm-hmm. You say that with peanut butter in your mouth. Have you ever tried to talk with peanut butter yeah. in your mouth? It just can't do it. And that's how some of us will say, truly God is good. We're stuttering because right. we want to believe it, but we don't always believe it. And that's why we have to start with that no matter what's going on. Truly God is good.
Sometimes if I'm overwhelmed or afraid or something, I just have to take a psalm and just repeat the one verse to myself over and over again. And this is, I think, one of those verses, because God is good. He is good. He's faithful. He loves us. But that doesn't stop verse 2 from happening in Asaph's life or in our life.
Here's a quick turn.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Read verse 2.
But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I nearly lost my footholds. And so it doesn't, yes, God is good, but we're humans. And so it doesn't mean that God's good. We sometimes forget, we lose sight, we lose perspective, we feel overwhelmed.
God's good, I'm overwhelmed.
God's good.
Those two things can exist at the same time. And that's the reality of what Asaph is showing us. Yeah. It's okay, even Christians, even good, godly people. God is good, I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And you know what? So we start with, the way life makes sense is we start with the overriding conclusion that truly God is good. Then we have to be honest about the overwhelming emotion of life.
Yeah.
That there is an emotional side to life. There's an emotional side of our life.
Yeah.
We all have these same emotions. He says, as for me, my foot almost slipped. In other words, I'm losing my balance. I feel like the rug is being pulled out from under me. I feel like I'm going to slip off a cliff here if something doesn't change. And we've all had those emotions where we felt that. He then even goes on to say, I envied the arrogant. Yeah. I envied the wicked. I almost didn't want to be a Christian. I almost don't want to stay righteous because it seems like I almost envy the wicked because they seem to be doing better than me.
Yeah.
And boy, I'll tell you what, let's be honest. Sometimes we look at that and think, what's the use of living righteous? What's the use of being a Christian? This looks like the wicked are just as happy as I am and just as miserable as I am, have the same problems I have, or even doing better in some cases. And boy, that's honest. And it's okay to think that, but we can't allow ourselves, and Asaph does not give in to that, but he does feel those emotions.
Well, but even, I mean, almost word for word in verse 13, surely in vain have I kept my heart pure, in vain I washed my hands in innocence. He's like, why? What am I doing all this for?
And then he goes on to say, I tried to understand all this, but it troubled me deeply.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried to make sense of all this, but it troubled me deeply. And you know what? Look, if we've thought that, felt that, don't beat yourself up. Just know you're honest, you're human, but don't give in to those emotions and let them overwhelm you to the point where we do not, and we make excuses. Because you know what, Daniel, I've come to the point, I've pastored for 30 something, almost 40 years. And I've seen this kind of thing with the way when life doesn't make sense. I've seen it go one of two ways. I've seen it go where people will take the struggles and problems of life, and they'll either use it as an excuse to turn away from God and to give up on their faith, or people will use those things, while they might feel those things, as a reason to turn to God and to stand firm in their faith. And that's really the choice we have. Mm-hmm. We can feel these things. We can struggle with these things. We can question God in these things. We can not understand life, but we have a choice then.
Yeah.
Are we going to use it as an excuse to give up and to turn away from God, or are we going to use it as a reason to turn to God and the reason why I need faith in the first place?
Absolutely. In his turning point, he does that in verse 17. And it's like, I feel like you just see this, like this image of him like tumbling down a hill. And then verse 17, he gets to the bottom and then starts heading back up.
But it's good to get it out of your system.
Absolutely.
To talk it out. Say it. You know what? When we're now, don't tell everybody. Don't be one of those. And yeah, don't post it out there. Don't be one of those people that's always complain and always want. I mean, but when we truly are overwhelmed, you know what? We have people we can go to God in prayer.
Yeah.
Tell God. You know, God's not, won't be upset if we're upset with him. God won't be mad if we're mad with him or with life. Just tell him, get it out of our system. And sometimes we have to have people we confide in. There are people you have. I have people that I talk to that we confide in. We're able to cry with, talk with, laugh with, hurt with. That's okay.
Yeah.
But like you said, but there's a turning point. And that turning point is, what are we going to do about it? And I love Asaph's turning point. Read it. Verse 17.
Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood.
Remember the overriding conclusion, truly God is good. The overwhelming emotion, me, I'm slipping, I'm troubled.
Yeah.
And here is the overcoming solution.
Yeah.
It was too painful for me until.
Until.
There was the until something changed. What changed? I went to the sanctuary of God. I went to the house of God. I went to the presence of God.
Yeah.
When my heart is overwhelmed, the psalmist and other psalmists, David said, my heart is overwhelmed, I go to the rock that's higher than I. I cry out to God in my distress and he hears me. And you know what? That's where we need to turn. We need to go to God. We need to go into his presence. We need to go to his house. We need to surround ourselves with other believers.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get ourselves in the midst of worship. We need to get ourselves where the word is,
mm-hmm.
where the truth is being. We need to surround ourselves and support ourselves with the truth and the word and the presence and the power of God. That can be the turning point in our life.
And I think so many of those turning points, we've talked about this before in this podcast, I think, where we take those moments before we walk into a meeting, before we walk into work, before we walk into the house, we take those moments. And in those times, we just say, Lord, I need you. I need your presence. And in those moments, I think one of the most comforting, life-giving verses and promises is that in my weakness, he is made strong, and that I don't, like, that's when he's strong and that's when I can be made strong. It's when I'm weak, I don't have to kind of conjure up the strength. He has it.
Yes.
So I can go to his presence, connect with him anywhere. He's always with us. He's given us the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Here's the contrast of Asaph's turning point. He says, I was troubled. It was too painful for me that it troubled me. But on the other hand, it was good for me to draw near to God and to put my trust in God and to declare his good works.
Yeah.
To know that God is good and that God will continue to do good and that he will help us. And then there are three things he talks about at the end. He says, when I went to the house of God, I understood.
Mm-hmm.
What did he understand? He understood a few things that we need to understand today. When life doesn't make sense, understand these principles. He says in verse 17 to 20, I understood their end.
Mm-hmm.
What, who's there? He's speaking about the wicked and the arrogant and the ones who are unrighteous and the ones who have turned away from God. He says, look, it may look like they're doing okay now, but really we don't see them in private, first of all.
Right.
Second of all, we understand their end. In other words, it looks like they're doing okay, but if they don't turn their heart to God, there is an end that God will punish and there will be destruction to them. I understand. Then he said, I also not only understood their end, I understood my end.
Mm.
He said, I understood my end. He says in verse 24 and 25 that God is going to honor me and is going to help me. And he's going to turn things around for me. And then the third thing he says is, I understand God's end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't totally understand everything about God, but he says, I understand that God is, I know enough about God that he's in control and that one day he will right all wrongs.
Yeah.
And the things that don't make sense now and seem to be wrong and seem to be upside down, he will turn it around. There will come a time, folks, trust God and his word on that, that there will come a time when God will make things make sense, and he will make wrongs right, and he will turn things that are upside down right side up.
Yeah.
That will have, if we can understand that and hold on to the fact that through God's word and his presence and his strength, God will make things right, we can make it through even when life doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I mean, verse 26 is incredible. My flesh and my heart may fail. Like, I can't do it. I'm falling apart, right? But I just love all these turning words in this chapter, like, but and until. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In verse 28, but as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. And so I just want to encourage all of us, like, sometimes when we have these days, we have these moments, like, ride the waves with the psalmist. Like, sometimes if I can't find the words to pray, a lot of them start in a bad place, but then at the end there's that but, there's that turn that puts our eyes and leads us back to the Lord.
And when life doesn't make sense, be honest, pour out the emotions, have a pity party, have a bad day, cry, get it out of your system, but then have a turning point where we say, like verse 28, which you just read, the conclusion, it is good for me to draw near to God. It's good for me to trust in God. It is good for me to declare the works of God. Yeah. So don't stay in that pit. Don't stay in that wallowing. Don't stay in that despair. Decide today that it is good for me. Mm-hmm. While my feet are slipping, it is good for me to draw near to God. So turn to God today. It is good for me to put my trust in God. It is good for me to declare the works of God, because God is the strength of my heart and my life forever.
I'm so thankful He is.
Lord, we thank You that even though life doesn't make sense, You are in control. And I pray today for that one that maybe they feel like their foot is slipping, or maybe they feel like they want to give up on their faith, or they want to turn I've gotten so overwhelmed that they're feeling hopeless and down. I pray today that they would go to the house of God. It would be good for them to draw near to You, that You would come to them and You would fill their heart and their home and their life with Your presence and Your power. They would understand that the wicked are not going to succeed, and that righteousness will prevail, and that You are in control, and that You are going to make all things good and all things right. And so, Lord, today it is good for us. To declare Your works, to trust You, and to draw near to You. So we draw near to You. Help us to rise above the cares of this world to live in victory and hope in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Be encouraged. He's our strength.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit us at bethelchristian-mi.org or find us on social media. To stay updated on upcoming episodes, please consider subscribing to the podcast. We pray you will be empowered to live, learn, love, and lead in the power and love of Christ.